Good morning, everybody. I've been instructed to be interesting today. I know you were probably looking for something a little boring, but I've got to be interesting, so we're going to go with that. So expect a song and dance and musical number halfway through. But no, it is good to see everyone today. It's a lovely week that we're having. Beautiful, not too hot, a little hot this weekend, but moving into cooler temperatures, things starting to wind down, school going fast, and it's just so much, right? A lot going on. But this is where we need to be right now. This is what's important as we fellowship and worship our Lord. Let's gather together to Him in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, thank You for the time that we have to be with You. Thank You for the fellowship that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we may celebrate as heirs to the promise of Your throne. Be with us as we continue our worship today. In Your most holy name we pray. Amen. All right, continue with your reading. You got Romans, you got Zechariah, Philippians. Good stuff, about 100 days left. You can do it! I know you can. Who's on track? Who's trying? Good. As long as you're trying, that's important. Today we're going to read probably one of the most famous from one of the most famous books in the Bible. Most people list it as their favorite book because it has a lot of good substance, and that is Romans chapter 8. Now, before I talk about Romans chapter 8 or what I'm going to say, I want to give you a little bit of background into the book itself because that's very, very important. Who knows what happened in 49 A.D.? No, you don't. Don't raise your hand. 49 A.D., Emperor Claudius decreed that none of the Jews were allowed to be in Rome, so he kicked them all out. They went everywhere. Specifically, at least two Jews that we know of, Priscilla and Aquila, they went to Corinth, and they met a really neat young guy who also sold tents along with them. You guys know who that was? That was Paul. Eventually, and so Paul made really good friends with them. They eventually shared the gospel in Corinth. And at some point, Priscilla and Aquila and all the Jews went home once Emperor Claudius died, and they were allowed to go back there. However, that created a problem. You see, the Jews thought they were the superior Christians. And by Jews, I mean the Jewish Christians. I don't just mean the Jews by Judaism. But they had not been in Rome for a number of years, and for a long time, the Gentile Christians were running the show, and so when they got back together, instead of living together in harmony, as we do so well, right? No. They did what we always do. They fought, they bickered, they argued. There was probably power struggles, and Paul finally decided that he had to write this letter to them addressing that issue. And that issue comes to a head in chapter 8, where he tells them something extremely important, that no matter who they are, no matter whether they're black, they're white, they're Jew, they're Gentile, they're rich, they're poor, as long as they are in Christ, they have a very important thing that binds them together. And that is the eternity that they will have in heaven. Now, to start this point off, Paul tells them that there's suffering in the world. Right? I mean, look at it. It's not that hard to miss. If you look at it, most people will say, these are the things going on in the world today. These are the big issues going on in the world. War, poverty, famine, abuse, murder, addiction, human trafficking. Whether or not you agree with everything on this list, maybe you think there's something else that should be on this list. You would say that these are a very big deal, or at least people believe that they are a very big deal. And as Christians, should we be worried about these things? It's a hard question to ask or answer. But yes, we should. But they're really nothing new. They've been going on for thousands of years. They've been happening. Maybe we're finding new ways to commit suffering, but the root of them are all essentially the same. And so when we look at dealing with these issues in the world, we need to make sure that we are focused on godly solutions and realize that He's the only one that can truly fix them. And there's sometimes nothing we can do about it. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul doesn't want you to be concerned about it. So when I ask this question, I'm really kind of saying, yes, but it's complicated, but it's really not, because it's not Paul's point. Paul's point is that there is something significantly more important than all of this. You're always going to have those problems. You know, when Jesus talked about the money that was being wasted on him, and one of his disciples said, this money could be given to the poor or the orphans. He's like, you're always going to have the poor and orphans, but you're not always going to have me. And so you need to make sure that when all these things that are going on in the world, we're not losing sight of that thing that is important. And he says, it is not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. God has been working on this plan for a very long time. And He knows that there is so much suffering in the world. And He wants to make sure that we can live, we can endure through that suffering. And he's got this great plan. And this is where Paul has been reaching all the way to chapter 8 to get to. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. But I want to point out that because there is suffering in the world, it's a result of our own sin. And that God is going to make sure that we can get over that sin and we can be fulfilled in His promise. You know how He's going to do that? Through a great word. I love this word. I actually wish this word was used more in the Bible. It's talked about a lot, but the word itself is very rarely used. And that is sanctification. That is the whole point of the book of Romans. Well, okay, sorry. It's probably the second point. The first point is get along. The second point is understand why you should get along. God has sanctified you to be holy. It is a work that He does for you. It is absolutely nothing you can do on your own. He does it to you. He wants you to be holy so you can inherit the promise of eternal life. But you can't just do it because you want to. Or sorry, you can't just do it. You just don't get it because He says, here it is. You get it because you work with Him together in cooperation. That's why in Romans chapter 6 He says, should we keep on sinning so we can keep being made holy? So grace may abound? No, that's a ridiculous concept. Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. We need to work together with God to fully understand how we can be sanctified, to be sanctified. He gives it to us freely, but we don't abuse it. Unfortunately, there is suffering. And history is marked by suffering. And while there is suffering that happens as a result of natural disasters, I would say by and large, all suffering is caused by human nature. Do you guys know, most of you have heard of World War I. I don't think anyone was alive to live through World War I. Was it? No, I don't want to know. But do you know what started World War I? A few guys killed an archduke. Yeah. The Archduke of Austria was assassinated by, I think, Serbian insurgents. A few. Like two or three people. And that one incident was responsible for the killing of hundreds of thousands of people. That is the result of sin. They have a word for this. It's called a butterfly effect. The butterfly flaps its wings in South America. It creates a tsunami off the coast of Japan. Does it really? I don't know. But the idea is that one small, insignificant action has lasting consequences. And that's what sin is. It constantly destroys. And we as humans keep feeding it. And because we feed it, we keep continuing to suffer. Whether or not we're believers or non-believers, a lot of Christians have this idea in their head that because they are now in Christ, they will not know suffering. And that is certainly not the case. That is not the argument Paul's making here. In fact, he's making quite the opposite. But he says it's not just people that suffer. It's creation that suffers. And I just love this in verse 19 and 20 and 21. He talks about creation as this person. And he says that when sin entered the world, creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, because of him who subjected it in hope. It had to endure also this suffering because sin entered the world. God, the most powerful being in all of time, history, and creation, brought this wonderful gift for us. And because of our sin, it was distorted. Because of our sin, it too had to suffer. But because of his grace, it too would also be free. Because God gave us a secret weapon. And it's so much better than sanctification. That's how much I can stress it. Sanctification is an awesome gift. But what God gave us is even better than sanctification. Do you know what he gave us? Paul's not even going to sugarcoat. He's going to jump right into it. He says he gave us part of himself. Actually, he gave us two parts of himself. But he's talking about one of the other ones right now. He talks about the Holy Spirit, a gift so great that it is God himself, and that we can use this gift to talk to him, to communicate him. But also this gift works on behalf of our benefit. You guys ever feel when you pray that it feels like a very one-sided conversation? You guys ever have that moment? Like, does God hear my prayers? Paul right here says, not only does God hear your prayer, but the Spirit intercedes on your behalf with groaning too deep for words. It is proof that prayer is not a one-side conversation. And it goes on to say that because of all of this, because of what you have in Christ, because of your commonality, that you could set your differences aside and look to a future that is marked with glory. I love the way he puts it in Colossians. He says, Christ, he's with you now, but you will be with him again in glory. Meaning that the glory is yet to come. You must hold fast. You must stay true. You must look, keep running the race till you receive the prize. I don't know how many different ways the Bible says it, but there's a few. It's going to be here as long as you continue to look towards the glory God has given you. And once you receive it, you will be called children, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified in him. He wraps up this section using four very quick points. And I'm going to hit each one of those very, very quick. But the way it's worded, he's like, you have been predestined. Not predestination. Some groups believe in that God knows who's going to go to heaven and who's not going to heaven, so it doesn't matter whatever you do. That's garbage theology. Sorry. There we go. But what he means here is that we did not stumble onto this by accident. God knew our nature. God knew who we were. And he knew what he would have to do to bring us back to him. So he predestined us through sanctification and called us to his purpose, to his gospel, to heaven. And because we are called, we were justified again through sanctification by his grace, by his blood, by faith. And all of that led to our glory, led to the glory that we would have in Christ. And those he justified, and those he justified, he glorified. Isn't that amazing? There is absolutely nothing better. The most powerful being in all the cosmos is working on our behalf. What could you possibly say to that? What does Paul say to that? Paul says, if God is for us, who could be against us? Who would even try to be against us? They don't see it. And the only way that they would be against them is that they did not know or understand the gift or appreciate what it meant to be sanctified. Do you know what that means? Are you living that life? Are you falling short? Because sin destroys absolutely everything it touches. But fortunately for us, we have the free gift and the grace of God. If that's something we can show you or help you out, if you'd like to respond to this message in any way, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.